You're not the person that's always doing the dumb thing. You're not the person that just could never cut it enough. God says to you today, you are my child. Last week we talked about that you are called by God, that God called you. Today I want to talk to you about you being a child of God and what that means, no matter what your earthly father was like, good or not so good. The thing that's so interesting about that verse to me is because it creates some issues, because there are two different kinds of people that read that verse and hear that verse. There's the what I would call the shouters, and then there's the doubters. The shouters are the people go, I know God loves me. Yeah, he loves me. God loves me. Yeah. And then there's the doubters. And we all have periods where we doubt and we wonder, because it may not come out in the form of, does he love me? But we think things like, what are you doing? Why? Where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why am I going through this? If you love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. And that happens with our earthly dads, and that happens with our heavenly dad. Perhaps you're here today and your dad was really something special, and I thank the Lord for that. But I also know that there's many of us today that had a dad that didn't know what to do and wasn't taught how to be a dad, and maybe never did the kind of things that you saw other dads do. Regardless of how you grew up, each of us here have to acknowledge that experience that we had with our earthly fathers and our earthly relationships can shape how we look at our Heavenly Father. And when you look at God through your father's eyes, your earthly father's eyes, it can often damage your assessment in the way that you look at God and the way that you experience God. So I want to talk to anybody here today who's ever just questioned God's love just a little bit, or maybe a whole lot. If you've desperately searched for approval, if you're here today and you search for approval or affirmation or acceptance, or perhaps you need to know that somebody actually loves you, this message is for you, because I want you to know God's love is big enough for you. It is big enough, it is bold enough, it is bright enough, it covers you. He loves you to the moon and beyond. When I think about dads, I can't help but think about my own dad, and I don't want to spend a lot of time about this because I've talked about my dad a lot. My dad was a quiet man. He was a quiet man that just went about his life on a daily basis, a farmer, grew up in a very sheltered environment, and never talked to me much about anything, but he showed me a lot of things. He showed me a lot of love, showed me a lot of what it meant to have a godly father, showed me a lot about who God was. But I can also understand that there's people in this room and people watching today that maybe it wasn't that way so much in your life. And there's some of you that had a dad who influenced your life in not a good way. Somebody who said or showed you that maybe you weren't so great. Somebody who made you feel worthless. Somebody who said you're never going to accomplish anything. Somebody who declared negative things over you on a daily basis. This lesson is for you. This lesson is for you. So I want you to look at the screen, and we're going to read a long passage of Scripture. And I want you to just read along with me as I read right off the screen here today. And if you have your Bibles, you can read along. But it's in Luke, and we start in chapter 8. It goes like this. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. And then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come and to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble. She fell to her knees in front of him, and the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him. and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so today we're going to look at those two stories, and we're going to try to derive some things that Jesus wants to tell us today, that and show us today what he did with those two ladies on this Father's Day. And so I want you to follow along with me. Verse 48 was so important what he said there. He said, "Daughter," he said, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace." You got this earthly father whose daughter is dying, and he's a good dad because he's a leader in the synagogue, he's a leader there, and he was jeopardizing his very spot for being there in that crowd because the people didn't care about Jesus. But he believed that Jesus could do something for his daughter, so he went anyway. Sounds like a lot of good dads. And he was at this religious leader goes, and Jesus notices him. And what does he do? He agrees with him. He says, "Yeah, I'll go with you. Let's go." Jesus stops. One must believe that at that point where it says that Jesus stopped in the crowd, that Jairus was a little bit disappointed. That if not completely disillusioned with him, he said, "Why are you stopping? You said you were going with me to see my daughter. You were going with me to heal my daughter, but you stopped. Let's not stop." That's like your wife's pregnant and you stop for fries on the way to go to the hospital and she's having a baby. You don't do that. You don't do that. And yet Jesus stopped in the middle of all this hubbub and he noticed this other lady. One could even make the conclusion that at that moment, that Jairus' perception of Jesus kind of went, "Jesus, what's up? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing it that way? I thought you said you were going to my house. Let's go now. We need to go now to my house." Jesus had other plans. Maybe your dad, your earthly dad, called you something when you were crying and it hurt you. Or maybe it was an absent father who worked all the time and didn't have time for you, doing the best he could, but he still got left out. Maybe you never even got to know your father. Or perhaps it was a coach or a teacher or a friend or a parental figure that was very important in your life and they hurt you. Here's what happens. When your earthly relationships happen like that, it impacts the way you see God. It gives you a filter, and then you look at God because you look at these people who were supposed to be these important figures in your life, and they didn't do what you thought they were supposed to do. They didn't quite deliver what you thought they were going to deliver. And I want to give you three lies that we typically believe about God, and then I'm going to close with the rest of this story. Here's the three lies that we think about God. It's so important you understand this because you think, "Well, I don't know if I think that," but I think there's points in our life where we believe these lies. The first one is this, that lie is that God is judgmental. That he's very judgmental, and all he's doing is he's sitting around in heaven and he's up there pointing out the things that we do wrong. He judges my mistakes, he judges by the things we've done wrong and the things I'm gonna do. The truth is, he's very compassionate. Psalms 103 says, "The Lord is like a perfect father to his children. He's tender and he's compassionate to those who love and fear him." He is not a judgmental God in the least. But we tend to view him that because we hear a lot about the wrath of God. We hear about that he's going to smite us, or he smote that people group, or he smote that people group. And we tend to take that on the chin, and it hurts. The second lie is that God is angry. He's just waiting for us to mess up. He's waiting for us to fail and to fall. But Exodus 34 says this, "The Lord is compassionate and a gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." That's the truth. The devil likes to get us to think that God is impatient, and he's like sometimes our fathers who yelled at us when we were trying our best, and dad still didn't notice, and it hurt. And so we put that on God, And we certainly put that on our dads. And the third lie is basically this, that God is hateful, that God hates us. And not too many believe this, but there's portions of this that we do. And we think things like, you know, there's a point in your life where you think God couldn't love somebody like me. I remember when I was young, I used to feel that all the time because I was such a mess up. There were so many times that because I knew what was right and I didn't do it anyway. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so I thought, you know, God probably hates me because I know what to do and I don't do it. It's not much different from us today, is it? We know what to do. We know how we're supposed to live. We know we're not supposed to say mean things to other people in response when they hurt us. We know we're not supposed to come back at people when they do things that we're supposed to turn the other cheek, but we don't. We don't. We lash out, and we somehow are just like we were when we were kids. Romans 5:8, very important verse. You know it. Says this, God showed us his love, his great love, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. There is more than enough love in God's pinky than love there is in this world. God has all. He is the author, the Bible says, of love. And my hope today through Scripture is this, and through the Holy Spirit, that you would see God as this loving Father that he is. So if you get back to the story of these two daughters, so we've got the one daughter who's dying. We've got this other lady who Jesus has stopped for in the middle of this crowd. And you see that there's this lady that the Bible says has been suffering for 12 years. You know the story. You can probably teach it. She's been bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years. Now that to us, we understand that, but we don't, because back then, if you were bleeding, had any kind of bleeding going on, nobody could touch you, and you were ceremonially unclean. No one could come close to you. There was no contact to be had with you because you were not pure. You were somehow defiled. That was what the priest had taught everybody, because it was about what was on the outside, not what was on the inside. And so here's this lady who's ostracized, who is in the middle of this crowd, and the crowd doesn't even know she's bleeding. And guess what? She's pressing up against everybody. She's made her way through this crowd to see this man who's come. And she just grabs onto him in hopes and belief that just a grab, just a touch will heal her. Here she is in this huge crowd where everybody that's in that crowd is, if they'd have known it, they would have been screaming bloody murder. What are you doing here? Why are you even in this room or in this space? The truth of the matter is today that everyone in this room has wounds. When you grew up, you were wounded. And they require healing. Whether you know that they're a wound or not, whether you recognize that there's a wound or not, whether you were rejected by someone, by somebody, by some group, by some person. And that healing only comes through the experience of the love of the Father. You see, when you're wounded by someone, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't just stop. So how do we experience this love of the Father? I believe it's only through a relationship with Jesus and seeing in this story what Jesus did with this woman and then applying that to our own lives. So what happened? The Bible says in this story that there's three ways that we can see this. First, and he walks with us, the Bible says. He went with Jairus. He said, I'll go. Let's go. He made that commitment. Jesus walked with him, heading towards his home. Whenever you're on a mountaintop or whether you're here in a valley today, Jesus walks with you. Jesus says, I'll be with you. Whether you sense him, whether you see him or not, Jesus walks with us. Deuteronomy says this in 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And yet most of us here live our lives in fear and discouragement because somebody has hurt us. Somebody has wounded us. Somebody has not come alongside us and acted in the way we thought that they should. The truth is, so many people are walking alone, and you're lonely, and you're hurting, and you're walking through life, and honestly, it stinks. But when Jesus walks with us, and we understand that, and we understand the ramifications, and we understand the implications of that, what's it mean when Jesus walks? It means that we are never, ever alone. Whether everybody forsakes us, whether everybody hates us, whether the world thinks we're this or that or whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus walks with us. Because when you walk with somebody who actually loves you, your past stays in the past. That's why so many people are carrying their past around with them like this badge of honor. This happened to me, and I must carry it. Wow, we'll wait for that. Jesus, when we carry this thing with us, we carry it around and we act like that it's somehow supposed to take care of us. And Jesus never intended for us to carry our past into the future. Paul said it very eloquently last week. I strain ahead for what's in front of me, and for what's behind me, I leave it there. I walk in the direction that Jesus is going. I walk towards hope. I walk towards forgiveness. I walk towards love. I don't walk towards guilt and shame. I walk towards the things that God has called me to walk towards. Because when you walk with somebody who loves you, your past stays where it's supposed to. Your past isn't supposed to be in the present. You are not supposed to wear it like a badge of honor. You're not supposed to wear it like an outfit. Well, I was abused. Well, I was this. Well, I was that. Well, I was, that's not your, that's, no. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm called. I'm called to greatness. I'm called to a special life. So he walks with us. The Bible also says in this story that he stops for us. That's what Jesus did. He stopped. He had a mission. He was going to Jairus' daughter, and he stops right in the middle of the mission. But what about the mission? Well, this is the mission. This lady who touched me and believed, she's the mission right now. And there's enough love for him to not just forget about Jairus' daughter, but to let Jairus' daughter kind of stay on the back burner and deal with this lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, right then, right now. That's his place in your and my life too. He will stop for you if you will let him. And I broached this subject last week, and you all kind of brought it up to me afterwards about being tired. I said, I'm tired of people coming up to me and saying I'm tired. You ask them how they are. And I got so much flack for that last week. I can't tell you how many people said that. But I want to talk about that for just a minute. Let me talk about it. In Genesis, we see the story that God created the earth in 6 days. And the Bible says on the seventh day, he stopped to rest. He showed us how to rest and to be refreshed in him. So we don't always have to be tired. We don't always have to be tired because what we're doing is we feel that because we don't get any mental rest. A lot of us get a lot of downtime, and we wake up and we're still tired. Maybe not physically tired, but mentally our minds are just on overdrive because we've been doing so many things and we haven't gotten the mental and spiritual rest that God has called us to. Some days we need to be stopped by him in our tracks and just say, rest in me. Rest in me. if you're here today and you feel like you failed forgiveness or and you can't forgive somebody, God is stopping for you. And he's saying, you can. If you're here today and you've hurt somebody physically, emotionally, God is stopping by to say, you can overcome that. You and me together, we can do this. If you're here today and you feel overloaded, nobody listens to you, God stops for you. All you have to do is reach out and grab, reach out and touch, reach out and grab, and he will notice, and he will act, and he will respond in the way that only he can. You cannot medicate yourself. You cannot take yourself and get all the spiritual rest that you need. Only God can provide that. Lastly, he doesn't just walk with us. He doesn't just stop for us. The Bible says he talks to us. He talks to us. I love this scripture. Hundreds and hundreds of times, I've heard the God where God speaks this out. He goes from this. He's in this crowd, and Jesus is sitting there, and here's this woman who's ceremonially unclean. And she's been ostracized, and she's in the middle of this pack of people who would go, ew, you're you, and let's stay away from you because you're unclean. And Jesus notices this woman, one person out of this whole crowd, and he reaches out to her. In an instant, the Bible says, in an instant, she was healed. And then he looks at her, and he does something that nobody has done for 12 years. He calls her daughter, daughter. Nobody has called this woman daughter. They've all said, get away. Ooh, you're gross. Leave us alone. This is the only place in Scripture where you ever find Jesus calling somebody a daughter. There's no other place, none. She goes from being just one in the crowd to being a daughter of the living God. Do you see the lavish love that the Father put on this woman? He singled her out of everybody in the crowd, and he loved her. There's some of you here today who've had a label put on your life, and you receive the love of the Father, and his love for you today, he wants to give you. He wants to shower it on you. There's some of you here today that are feeling lonely and sad. There's some of you today that have a great reason to be sad and a great reason to be lonely, but God still wants to meet you. He still wants to have a relationship with you and to touch you and to call you son or to call you daughter. So this 12-year-old daughter, going back to the story. So he heals the lady. Check. And then he goes on to the 12-year-old daughter who's dying. And some men come and they say, hey, it's too late. You don't need to come. Hope is gone. The end is over. It's all done. Nope, not with Jesus. He walks with Jairus. He gets to the house. He stops there. He talks to the little dead girl. He grabs her hand. And Luke 8:54 says this, but he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. I want to say to somebody here today, there's some things in your life that are dead. You think are dead. There's a situation in your life where you think there's no life left. Jesus wants to take your hand and he wants to say to you today, get up. Get up. Rise up. But everybody says, doesn't matter. Get up. Get up. Maybe it's a relationship that you've been fighting through. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's your finances. You may be here today even feel like Jesus has stopped working on your situation and he's moved on to somebody else. He left the building and he went to somebody else and he's not been to you for a while. here's what I want to say to you in closing. Ben, you can come on up. His love is big enough. It was big enough for the woman. His love was big enough for the little girl. And his love is big enough for you today. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter about what happened when you were a young person. Doesn't matter about what happened last year. His love is big enough to cover whatever it is you've gone through, going through, or going to go through. He stops, he walks, and he talks to you. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are, child of God. Would you say that with me? I'm a child of God. 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 You're not what some label that was put on you by somebody who probably never got taught what to do or how to do it, by somebody who was struggling really hard. And yet today it's still shaping you. And yet today it's still got a hold on you. Jesus wants to bring you freedom today. He wants to release you from the situation that happened to you. He doesn't want you living in that. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every person that's here, that's watching, that we would experience this love that we're talking about. Not that it wouldn't just be love on a paper, it wouldn't be just words, but it would be a true love. Love, overwhelm us, Lord, with your love. God, there's nothing that can separate us from your love, but I believe there's some here today who are very separate from you. I believe there's some people that just don't, they're not feeling you anymore. They're not sensing you. God, so would I pray today during our ministry time that there's some people here that all they would do is just reach out and touch. Reach out to you. God, use these next few minutes. Speak to our hearts. We love you, and we know you love us. But God, we get so busy. We get so distracted. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today, and God is calling you and speaking to your heart.